I said.
See ya!
Yeah.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
This is WMFO. Welcome to the program. It's Acoustic Sailing. Okay, welcome to the program. The show is called Acoustic Ceiling. It's WMFO Medford. My name is Vin Maganzini, and I hope you're ready for one heck of a show. It's going to start in just a moment, and I have a guest. His name is Elijah Wold. He is the author of Dylan Goes Electric, Newport, Seeger, Dylan, and The Night That Split the 60s, and he's here in the studio with me. And if you want to talk to him, call me at 617-627-3800. That's 617-627-3800. Let me just say that on today's Acoustic Ceiling, I'm really happy to have Elijah Wold. I've heard him twice, and both times it was a treat. He can play the blues. And before I have Elijah Wold introduce himself, let me just tell you that anyone who's a regular listener to the show knows that we start off with acoustic music, then we go through the acoustic ceiling and play anything above and beyond any musical barrier. If there's one music writer that knows a great deal about musical transformations and doing the unexpected, it's my guest, Elijah Wold. Elijah Wold is a music writer, blues singer, and accomplished guitarist. His latest book is one heck of a read. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you want a brief biography about Bob Dylan and one about Pete Seeger, I highly recommend it. Elijah Wold, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Elijah, what would you like to do first? Would you like to play a song or play a song that you brought?
Well, I think we got something queued up. This is Pete Seeger. It's from 1955, and it's a little surprising for people who may have thought of Pete Seeger as the strict folky traditionalist. It's his banjo arrangement of Irving Berlin's Blue Skies.
Okay, and without further ado, here's Pete Seeger. This is WMFO Medford. Pete Seeger. We'll have Pete Seeger in just one moment. I wonder what happened there. That was odd. This should be Pete Seeger, and it is. That was Pete Seeger playing Blue Skies from, what's it called again, Elijah?
The album is called The Goofing Off Suite.
The Goofing Off Suite. And right now I have a live song. It's right in the studio. It's Elijah Wald playing a Bob Dylan song. And Elijah, take it away.
Sure. It's not a very familiar Bob Dylan song. It's actually, Dave Van Ronk told me this story. He said that they were sitting around in the Kettle of Fish, which was the bar they all hung out in upstairs from the Gaslight Cafe. And Dylan had just begun to break. He was not yet a major known figure. I don't think the first album was yet out. But he was beginning to get known around town as a songwriter. And this guy apparently walked in and said, "So I hear there's a hotshot new songwriter around here." And walked up to him and said, "I bet you can't write a song called," and then gave him one of these joke titles, which jazz musicians used to use all the time for, like, they'd just do a jam and they'd have joke titles for him. Dave's favorite was "Take Back Your Heart, I Ordered Liver." So anyway, this guy said the title he wanted Dylan to write one to, and Dylan said, "Sure, come back tomorrow." And the next day the guy came in, and Dylan had this one.
Said if I had to do it all over again, then babe, I'd do it all over you. If I had to wait for 10,000 years, now babe, I'd even do that too. The dog has got his bone in the alley. The cat has it. I've forgotten how this goes. A million.
Give me 1 second. I'm in the wrong key.
Dog has.
Jeez, I play this all the time too. 1 second.
The dog has got his bone in the alley. Sorry about that. Millionaire has got $1 million. King Saud, he's got 400 wives. Said everybody's got something that they're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to when I can do it all again. And babe, I'll do it all over you. I don't need no money, I just need a day that's sunny. I've got a feeling that day is gonna come. I'll grab me a pipe, and you know that I'm a giant when you hear me yelling fee-fi-fo-fum. Cause everybody has his hour, and everybody has his time. Little David, when he picked up his pebble, even Samson when he went blind, said everybody gets their time to do exactly what they want to do. And when my time arrives, you better run for your life, cause babe, I'll do it all over you. And I'm just resting at your gate so that I won't be late. Oh baby, I'm just resting on my shelf. Look out your window, fair. You'll see me squatting there, a mumbling and a grumbling to myself. And after all my cigarettes have been smoked up, hey, after all my liquor has been drunk, and after all my dreams have been dreamt out, and after all my thoughts have been thunk, said after I've done all of those things, I'll do just what I wanna do. I tell you, little lover, that you better run for cover, cause babe, I'll do it all over you. Try to just play it once, see if I get it right this time.
Wow, you can play that guitar like nobody else. Way to go. I think Bob Dylan would be knocked out by the way you play that guitar. I mean, really, fantastic. Elijah, bravo.
Thank you, and I wish I'd remembered the chords the first time around, but there you go. It's funny, I never really played that tune, and then I did it a lot when I was touring with the book, but now it's been a few months, and clearly wonderful. I need to get back into it. Great song.
It is a wonderful song, yes.
And so different from what people think of Dylan as writing in 1961. I mean, I just love that because everybody has this story of, you know, he was just writing Woody Guthrie type songs. But no, he was also writing that.
I couldn't help but think about Johnny Cash's I Need to Flush You from the Bathroom of My Heart. Ever hear that song, Elijah?
You've been flushed from the bathroom of my heart.
Who wrote that one? I'm pretty sure Johnny wrote it. I think he did. I could be wrong. It might have been Jack Clement, but I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Johnny wrote it. But that's a very silly song. And
yeah, Cash was also doing a lot of Shel Silverstein, which also came out. But all of that was later.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, there we're talking late 60s.
Right, with A Boy Named Sue. Absolutely.
Boy Named Sue, among other things.
And yeah.
How many minutes to go? 20 minutes to go? 25 minutes to go?
Yeah.
It's also Shell.
Love it. Hey, are you in the mood to play more guitar and sing, or you want to take a break from that and play a little bit of music? What do you want to do, Elijah?
Let's play a recording. Let's actually play...
The one you talked about?
Actually, I thought, why don't we play Highway 61, which is cool because this is a really good example of how rock and roll Dylan was when he wasn't yet rock and roll, because the guitar part is just the Everly Brothers' Wake Up Little Susie.
Okay.
But so he's
Highway
using
51.
51, excuse me. Highway 51.
You got it. I saw you on a clip on the computer, on the internet, and you talked about it, and it is perfect Everly Brothers, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, he's just doing Wake Up Little Susie.
In a gigantic way, absolutely.
And it's a perfect example of the fact that Dylan came into the folk scene already as sort of the rocker in that world, the rockabilly guy on the folk scene, already in 1960.
Yep. And if you don't believe us, check this out.
Highway 51 runs right by my baby's door. Highway 51 runs right by my baby's door. If I don't get the gal I'm loving, walk down Highway 51 no more. Well, I know that highway like I know my hand. Yes, I know that highway like I know the back of my hand. Running from up Wisconsin way down to no man's land. Well, if I should die, for my time should come. You die for my times you come. Won't you bury my body out on Highway 51? Highway 51 runs right by my baby's door. Highway 51 runs right by my baby's door. If I don't get the gal I'm loving, won't go down Highway 51 no more.
You don't have to go down Highway 51, just leave your dial on 91.5 FM, no static at all. This is Tufts University Freeform Radio, or listen on the web at WMFO.org. We'll be right back with more Elijah Wald right after this.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
And your friends right here on Acoustic Sailing. I'm Vin Maganzini, and with me is Elijah Wald. Elijah Wald's gearing up to play another song. The song that he chose is a Dylan song called He Was a Friend of Mine. The Byrds did it on their second album, Turn, Turn, Turn. And boy, I'm kind of curious to see what...
Dylan actually got it from Eric von Schmidt locally here in Cambridge.
Does Dylan get the writing credit for it, or is it Eric von Schmidt?
Some people give Dylan the writing credit for it. Van Ronk gave Dylan the writing credit for it, but Dylan's version isn't all that different from Eric's.
Right.
I played with Eric for a few years. He was not cheerful about the fact that Dylan had writing credit.
Well, here it is. He Was a Friend of Mine, Elijah Wald. Friend of Mine, performed by Elijah Wald. Very nice. He plays on a old Gibson, and it's all acoustic, and it's all right from his fingers and right from his mouth. There's little artifice. Artifice? What's the right word?
I don't know. I just think I'm playing music.
He's just playing music, folks. There's nothing affected. That's what I was going to say. This guy playing from his heart and soul, and boy, does he have style, does he have a delivery. Elijah, tell us about the blues. What do you think about when you think about the blues?
God, I don't know. That's just a word. I mean, honestly, I don't call myself a blues singer. I don't...
You're a song band fan.
It's a marketing term. It's like all these terms, folk music, blues, rock, jazz, these, you know. In my experience, musicians hate those terms because all they mean is you get put in a box and you stop getting called for gigs that don't match that box.
Yeah.
I don't know. That one's just a good song.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful song. And let's talk about your book, if that's okay.
Sure.
Dylan Goes Electric, Newport, Seeger, Dylan, and the Night That Split the 60s. The focus is on the 1965 Newport Folk Festival, but the book goes into the career of Pete Seeger, the legendary banjo player, wonderful songwriter, and just one heck of a guy. I mean, Pete Seeger was a force of nature. I mean, legendary.
Yeah, well, you know, what happened with that book was the idea was to get something out for the 50th anniversary of Dylan Going Electric. It was a big deal,
and
I make a living as a writer, so
and
I wanted...
And you succeeded. It came out last year at this time.
Exactly. And actually, it's about to be out in paperback, I guess, June. But maybe July. But I got really interested in the fact that what happened that night, Dylan wasn't the one whose reputation was changed forever that night, because Dylan had already gone electric. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dylan was already the voice. In fact, before he went electric, he was already being named alongside the Beatles as sort of the voice of the 60s. And he'd gone electric with Bring It All Back Home. By the time he got to Newport, Subterranean Homesick Blues had been out for months. Like a Rolling Stone was on the radio. But what happened that night was that Newport and Pete Seeger kind of, you know, they'd been the lefties, the revolutionaries, the radicals, the cutting edge. And when a lot of those people booed Dylan at Newport, mm-hmm. sort of overnight the narrative became, these guys are the past, their time is over, yeah. Pete Seeger belongs back with the unions in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of crazy because, you know, 5 years after that, Johnny Cash had Dylan on his show, and he still couldn't get Seeger on because Seeger was still considered a dangerous radical.
That's right. That's right.
So there's real irony in the idea that Seeger was being typed in 65 as the past.
Right. But, no, absolutely.
But that was the irony. So yeah. I just got interested in looking into sort of how both Dylan and Seeger and the whole folk scene, and broader than that, and American culture, had got to that moment in 1965, and why it became such a watershed.
Absolutely. People forget that not only Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, the Weavers, people like the Smothers Brothers, they were considered dangerous. They were, but just in the sense of being censored on TV. You know, they had Pete Seeger on their show, and it was a very controversial thing to do.
But it was controversial because they were considered just sort of fun, harmless lightweights.
Right. Exactly.
But it's true. I mean, the most dangerous thing they did was have Pete Seeger on singing Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was pretty stunning, the footage of Johnny Cash introducing Pete Seeger and having him on the Johnny Cash show, too. I mean, that's a pretty wonderful moment in pop culture history.
Yeah, and Cash had been fighting for years at that point to get Seeger on, mm-hmm. because he'd been being turned down because Pete Seeger was considered a communist. Mm-hmm.
What a lively time it was. I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I really got a kick how you respected the careers of Seeger and Dylan, of course, and you brought out all the different angles because there's a lot of moving pieces, and you point out, and I think rightly so, that Dylan was the star. He was the one that people had to judge themselves against, and I think as soon as he hit one high mark, he went even higher, and the people around him, boy, did he created some envy or quite a bit of it, and yet he brought some of those people with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people who were booing Dylan at Newport in 65, in my experience, virtually all of them had come over to his side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a lot of people who had never liked Dylan and continued not to like Dylan and still don't like Dylan today.
Mm-hmm.
People on the folk scene. I mean, there were a lot of people who thought he sounded affected.
Right.
And fake from album number one and have never changed their views.
But they're
a minority.
Right. And I mean, he never said he was a purist folk singer. He never, you know, kept in traditional styles and said, I'm not going to do... He did a lot of different things.
No, but he did say that he was a rambling hobo orphan from New Mexico.
Well, yeah. He told a lot of white lies and tales.
He was pretending to be Woody Guthrie.
He was, absolutely. But hey, he can be forgiven for some of those strange stories that he told.
Oh, yeah. What Van Ronk always said is, you know, we were all reinventing ourselves. Okay. That's what that whole, you know, not only that's what that whole scene is about, that's what being 19 or 20 is about.
Absolutely.
And you got to remember that first album, he's like 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And when he goes electric 5 years later, he's 24. I mean, he was very young.
Absolutely. And some of the controversy, I think some of the great stars or the great artists, whether it's Hank Williams, but I'm thinking more of like Neil Young. I mean, lots of controversy throughout his career. Lots of changes, lots of people hating him, lots of people loving him and jumping on board at different times of his career. And Bob Dylan was that way in a big way. I mean, you don't really talk about that too much because 65 was still the early years of Bob Dylan. I mean, he went on for 35, 45,
he's still doing it,
exactly.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
I mean, he's over 70 years old, and we're talking before he was the age 25. So I found that fascinating. I had that in my head a lot because like someone like Neil Young, his point of view is if he didn't make the albums that hit people the wrong way and do weird things, he couldn't make the ones that hit people the right way and did wonderful things. And over the years, it's been a roller coaster with him, a total roller coaster ride. One thing that I think that's fascinating, and it's kind of an inner turmoil or psychological way of looking at 1965 with Bob Dylan, is I think he was completely chewed up to a certain extent of, I'm letting these people down, I want to do my own thing, and yet he had to do his own thing. Because folk music and acoustic music has always been in Dylan's life/career. I mean, he would return to it year after year or decade after decade. I don't think there's a six-year period or seven-year period in Dylan's career or album release where he didn't put out an acoustic song.
I have no idea.
Well, let's look into that. I think we should look into that. If anyone knows, call us.
Electric and acoustic, to me, is that's sort of a false way of looking at stuff. I mean, the Beatles were putting out acoustic records. The Rolling Stones were putting out acoustic records. Play With Fire was acoustic. You know, nobody, when the Beatles do Yesterday, says they've gone acoustic.
They've gone folk. I know. I simply mean it in the sense of stripping it down because Bob played a little jazz over the years, very little, but he did do it. He's doing it now.
Sinatra album, and he's just following up with another thing of standards.
Exactly. But he played country. He played very bluesy music. He played folk music. Some of it's very British-sounding folk, you know, things like Girl from the North Country. He's played all these different things, and in the mid 70s he would protest with a song like Hurricane, and yet it seemed like he always would come back to a man at the microphone playing with a harmonica rack, you know, that kind of individuality.
I don't know. I can only think of two albums since I can only think of two albums since Another Side of Bob Dylan where it's just him with a guitar and harmonica rack. But, the other thing is, I'd say it's important if you know, my take on Bob Dylan sort of follows what he says in Chronicles and what he says in The Things Around That, which is there's this period from when he shows up through Blonde on Blonde when he was just electric. And he, I mean electric not in the sense of plugging in, but in the sense that everything he did was magical.
Yeah.
And he had this energy running through him. And then there's the motorcycle accident. And what with one thing and another, he basically lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, he has been a very, very expert craftsman.
Absolutely.
But he's trying all sorts of different things and demonstrating that he can do them competently, mm-hmm. some better than others. But
and we have a caller who wants to chat.
Let's do it.
Here we go. This is WMFO Medford. Welcome to Acoustic Sailing.
Hey, Vince, it's Jen.
Hey, Jen, you're on the air. Do you want to say hello to Elijah?
Hello.
Hi there.
Elijah, any questions? Do you like his blues music? What do you think of it?
I think it's great. I was actually listening to it. This is my first time listening to your show.
Okay.
I was calling to request a song.
Okay. What do you want to hear? I'll play it in a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I was thinking of hearing Hurricane.
Hurricane, cool.
I love that song.
Excellent. Okay, maybe I'll play that later on. Okay, Jen?
All right.
Thank you for listening.
All right, you take care.
Bye. So, getting back to the Dylan thing, I was just, not that he put out a whole album, just, you know, I was just thinking more of like when he did put out two albums, I think they were in the 1990s, which were all just acoustic and just playing
traditional songs.
Exactly.
But I mean, he's always, you know, Hurricane is, he's writing like a traditional ballad.
Yes, yes.
Slow Train Coming, he's writing like traditional, so, you know, right. I don't think it's so much about the instrumentation. He always has drawn on traditional folk music, real traditional folk music,
right.
not singer-songwritery stuff, but mm-hmm. real traditional folk music has always been a touchstone, even at his most loud and electric.
Right, and I think, you know, it's true that there's different influences all the time with him, whether it's pop, whether it's Hank Williams. There's so much going on in his music that, it's so difficult to label him one thing. And
But I think that's true of any major,
yeah,
I was going to say musician, but artist. I mean, I think it's basic that you have big ears, that you have big eyes, that you're taking in everything around you.
Right. And bravo for you for changing, for you know, bringing different elements into your music. If not, wow, it would be a very plain, very not colorful sound you would make or you know, picture you would draw. So, Elijah, are you in the mood to talk music or play music?
I can go either way. Why don't we listen to another track? Why don't we listen to that Fairies track?
You got to hear
this
Fairies.
This is something nobody has heard. This is Jimmy Page on guitar with a band called The Fairies.
And no one has heard this one. Elijah Wald has claimed. Here we go, The Fairies. WMFO. And we are in Medford.
You don't know by now. It don't use to sit and wonder why, babe. It don't ever do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, lock out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's alright. Is
twice, it's all right.
Instead of me signaling to this fellow over here with six earphones on his head that I'm going to read the station breaks. So in case you didn't know it, you're listening to folk music all day today. And harmonica bending over Riverside Radio, WRVR 106.7 FM, New York City. Okay. Would someone like to volunteer to hold this thing up to Bobby's mouth while he plays?
Send a letter. Go out and get me Elizabeth, dead or alive. Dead or alive. Oh, the high sheriff, and he wondered, where should I find him? I don't know. Pray God, I just don't know. Well, he found poor Lazarus between two mountains, and they blowed him down. And they blowed him down. Oh, they killed poor Lazarus with a mighty number, number 45. Number 45. And they took poor Lazarus to the commissary office, and they walked away. And they walked away. Poor Lazarus says, little sister, come to the funeral, Lord, didn't have no shoes. Didn't have no shoes.
Right across the bay from San Francisco. That's where Jesse Fuller lives. Jesse Fuller plays a 12-string guitar. Living Leadbelly. Guitar and a harmonica, too. Electric. Also has a kind of a 5-string bass-like thing on the floor that he plays with his foot, called a foot doula. And Jesse wrote this song, and I'll sing it to you now, because I'll sing it all day long. Got the left me by the San Francisco Bay. The ocean liners had gone so far away. Didn't mean to treat her so bad. Best gal I ever have had. Said goodbye, like to make me cry. Wanna lay down and die. Haven't got a nickel, I ain't got a lot of dime. She don't come back, I think I'm gonna lose my mind. She ever come back to stay, be another brand new day. Walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay. From my back door, wondering which way to go. Woman, I'm so crazy bound, she don't want me no more. Think I'll take me a freight train, because I'm feeling blue. Ride all the way to the end of the line, thinking only of you. Meanwhile in another city, just about to go insane. Sound like I heard my baby, the way she used to call my name. She ever come back to stay? Be another brand new day. Walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay. Hey, walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay.
Ramblin' Jack Elliott with San Francisco Bay, and now we're back with Elijah Wald.
Yeah, when people talk about Dylan sounding like Woody Guthrie, what he really sounded like was like Jack Elliott sounding like Woody Guthrie.
Here's a song that Elijah Wald is going to do. It's a song that Bob Dylan used to do way back when.
Yeah, it's also a song that he stole a couple of lines for other songs out of. This is was from a guy named Bascom Lamar Lunsford, the minstrel of the Appalachians, who also actually put together one of the earliest folk festivals, which was where Pete Seeger first heard folk music. So this connects to everybody.
If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. I wish I was a mole in the ground. And Campy needs a $9 shawl. Said Campy needs a $9 shawl. When I come over the hill with a $40 bill, then it's honey, where you been so long? I've been on the band so long. Said I've been on. Rough and rowdy man, and it's honey where you've been so long. And I don't like the railroad man. He'll kill you if he can, and he'll drink up your blood like wine. And I wish I was a lizard in the spring. I wish I was a lizard in the spring. If I was a lizard in the spring, I'd hear my darling sing. I wish I was a lizard in the spring. And I wish I was a mole in the ground. I wish I was a mole. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. I wish I was a mole in the ground.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Goes electric. Not really. I'll shut this off in a second. I just want him to hear this.
Something's wrong. I like the piano and something's wrong time-wise.
Something wrong time-wise there. That was a little bit of a studio recording from way back when. So, Elijah, that was a great song. I definitely heard a lot of Dylan influence in that. I mean, oh, I should say a lot of things he plucked from that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. Dylan, when people started talking about how he had gone all surrealist and was imitating the French symbolist poets, Dylan's response was, have you listened to old folk songs? you know, Robert Johnson or a song like that, they're full of crazy images. Dylan didn't have to go looking anywhere particularly far to find things like that. I mean, he did read a lot of Verlaine and Rimbaud, but, you know, it reminded him of stuff he knew already.
Yeah. Wow. In the mood to sing a song, or do you want to hear a track? It's up to you.
Oh, let's hear something.
We're going to hear something, folks. And do you know what that something's going to be? What are you in the mood for? I got a lot of stuff to play. What would you like to hear?
Oh, I don't know. Why don't I let you pick one for a change? You're the DJ.
Okay. Actually, here. I think you'll like this. Before I find it, let me just ask you, what do you think about someone like Billy Bragg? Are you familiar with Billy Bragg?
Yeah, no, I think Billy Bragg's terrific. I was just listening the other day to his, it's like his third or fourth album. I think his third album, the first one where he wasn't just solo, where he got other musicians. It's called Talking with the Tax Man About Poetry.
Love it, yeah.
And I was just listening the other day and thinking how great that record sounded. And every time I've seen him live, he's blown me away.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's a terrific musician.
I'm a big admirer of his work. Workers' Playtime is a stunning record. I think it's one of his greatest works. It's like there's nothing bad on it. I mean, or the quality is just high caliber and.
Well, it's just also it was very exciting seeing him working in rock clubs because I mean he was just walking out by himself with a guitar. It was an electric, not an acoustic, but he was just by himself with a guitar. And he was singing stuff that sounded a lot like folk songs, but he was singing them very loud and playing very loud.
Yeah.
And he was filling, yeah, I saw him at the Channel the first time. And excellent. The audience was not a folk audience. It was a rock audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, no, I was completely blown away.
Yeah, that's Billy Bragg. And speaking of Billy Bragg, here he is.
Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman, let's go make a picture on the island of Stromboli. Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman, you're so pretty, you'd make any mountain quiver, you'd make fire fly from the crater. Ingrid Bergman, this old mountain, it's been waiting all its life for you to work it, for your hand to touch its hard rock. Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman, if you walk across my camera, I will flash the world your story. I will pay you more than money, Ingrid Bergman. Not by pennies, dimes, nor quarters, but with happy sons and daughters, and they'll sing around Stromboli, Ingrid Bergman. This old mountain, it's been waiting all its life for you to work it, for your hand to touch its hard rock. Ingrid Bergman, Ingrid Bergman.
Put it. Oh, Ingrid Bergman by Billy Bragg, or I should say performed by Billy Bragg and Wilco on the Mermaid Avenue sessions.
So written by Woody Guthrie, the lyric.
That's right.
The tune is Billy's, I guess.
I think that's correct. Yeah, yeah. The words are Woody Guthrie's. And right now we're going to play a Sam Cooke track. This is one of Sam Cooke's last tracks, isn't it?
It was one of his very, very last. It actually came out posthumously, but I was pulling it out because it's a great example of the effect Dylan had on the world, because Sam Cooke heard Blowing in the Wind and just said, wait a minute, gotta stop writing teen dance records. There's something else happening now.
Yeah.
And so he went and and wrote this in direct response to the changes Dylan had made.
Yeah, what a gorgeous voice Sam Cooke has, and here it is.
Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Sam Cooke with A Change Is Gonna Come on WMFO in Medford. This is Acoustic Ceiling, and with me is Elijah Wald. Elijah, it's about that time to say goodbye. What do you think?
I think I've had fun. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on. It was